Hello, gorgeous, gorgeous girls, and welcome back to another episode of Girlfriends. I'm Lindsay, and today I'm joined by the lovely Nina. How are you doing?
Hello, I am so happy to be back and so excited. And hopefully I didn't traumatize you as much as last time.
So, if you're like a long time listener, you might recognize Nina's voice from when we looked at found footage films, and Nina brought Grave Encounters to the table, which was an experience, I'll tell you that for sure. But I feel like you've brought like the upgraded version of Grave Encounters to the Spooky Sleepover today, and today we're looking at Gonjiam Haunted Asylum. What made you pick this, Nina?
Above anything else, I am a found footage whore. So it's my absolute favorite subgenre. And I'm pretty sure it was Violet, my friend Violet, who recommended it to me. And I live by myself. And so I think it was 2021. I had the great idea, like, why don't I watch this at midnight by myself? And I almost shed my pants with one specific part of the ending. And since then, I've just been spreading the gospel of, hi, do you have a moment to speak about found footage?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I feel like that's how everybody gets into found footage, though. Like, you watch the film at 1 o'clock in the morning. Literally, like, last episode, we were watching Paranormal Activity, and that's exactly how I watched Paranormal Activity for the first time. It was like 3 in the morning in my college dorm room in the dark on my own, waiting for all the scary things to happen, as it should be, as it should be.
As God intended. I will say that one thing that always makes me so sad when I'm watching a movie in a language that I don't speak fluently is that I know that I would love it even more if I did speak fluently, because the subtitles always like leave a little to be desired. And I've noticed it with movies in English, and sometimes I watch it with Portuguese subtitles on because for people, I'm Brazilian. And so I noticed that there's a lot that you miss, and I keep wondering, well, what did I miss from this one because it's in Korean.
Yeah, like I even noticed that. Like, I just love to have subtitles on in general, and Netflix is so bad for it. You watch what you're watching, and you can hear what they're saying, but the subtitles don't match up. Like, they quite often take out swear words and stuff like that, and I just think it's so unfair to people who are deaf and hard of hearing that they're not getting the script as intended. It's like, they're deaf, they're not fragile, they can handle a swear word. And it also bugs me, actually, Amazon Prime are really bad for just not having subtitles at all.
Yes.
It's really frustrating. And there's been a couple of times I've like reviewed stuff for like Girlfriends, and I've had to watch it a few times because not having the subtitles there to kind of like back up what's being said, I've missed things, and it's really hard. And some people say it's like a neurodivergent thing. I've not been tested or anything like that, or I don't know, maybe I'm going a bit deaf or stupid or something, but it's like I need my subtitles to
I'm like,
understand what's going on.
I can't hear. I
Exactly. I need my
need my subtitles. But I'm the
subtitles.
same way. Oh, this movie, I think one of the best things about it's that it's gonna fool you so hard because the first 30 minutes are kind of just wholesome. It's this trio that has a horror YouTube channel, and they invite newbies to go investigating with them, and it's them meeting and then having dinner together, having fun on the way to the asylum. And you're like, oh, that's so fun. I want to go ghost hunting with my friends and with a crew. And then quickly you realize, oh, yeah, that's why I don't do that. Ghost with a little dash of Jesus, not part of like alternate dimensions and like a little sprinkle. Little sprinkle of spice.
So let's get into it. So we're talking about Gonjam, Haunted Asylum. I'm probably saying that wrong. I'm so sorry, anyone who's South Korean. I'm trying my best, but it's not nice when people butcher your things in a different language, and especially when you're an English speaker, because just makes you
Same.
sound ignorant, and folk in the UK just don't know other languages either. So it makes it worse. I'm so sorry.
As Christine from And That's Why We Drink says, English is not my first language. So let alone like pronouncing Korean words in English.
So the IMDb plot for Gonjam Haunted Asylum is: after the crew of a horror web series travels to an abandoned asylum for a live broadcast, it soon encounters much more than expected as it moves deeper inside the nightmarish old building, moving into a suburban home. Oh, sorry. I'm not taking out the description from last week, apparently. There we go.
Paranormal Activity, just yeah, and I saw the Marked ones recently, was the only one that I hadn't seen, and I was so glad with like the Latino representation. Like they got
Oh,
something.
yeah. I know something. So Gonjam Haunted Asylum came out in 2018. It stars Wee Ha Joon, Yoo Ji Yoon, and Park Ji Ha. It was directed by Jung Bum Sheik, who also worked on Epitaph, Horror Stories 1 and 2, and New Normal. And this was written by Jung Bum Sheik and Sang Min Park. When did you watch this film for the first time?
I'm pretty sure it was 2021 alone in my living room in the middle of the night.
How did you
Like
come
the
ac-
idiot that
Yeah. How did you come across it?
I
Was it just something on streaming, or like had you heard
am.
about it?
My lovely, lovely friend Violet that I met through Hero Scream, and by the way, I'm the godmother of her goldfish. She said, "Oh, it's a great found footage movie." And as I mentioned, I am a found footage whore at heart. So, like, I need to watch it. And I found it, and I'm like, "Yes, here we go." And then I finished, and I'm like, "I don't want to go to bed."
I understand why. I understand why. There's there is quite scary bits in this, and I don't really scare easy in film for like from films either. But there's a few bits I was like, oh my God.
Take this away from me.
Although what I will say, when you were kind of like saying that you're like blessing the masses with this film, it was so hard to find in the UK, like no streaming services, there was nowhere I could buy it, and I was just or rent it. It's just like, what's going on? And I know like some films are just
It's
like
fucking
that, but
shitty.
it is, and it's like it's such a good film, like
Here in Brazil, it's not available on Prime, but we do have on Global Plays. Global, it's like a TV station which is super popular here, and so they have their own streaming. And my mom has it because it has all of their telenovelas, and she loves
Oh,
them. But they also
yes.
have like some random horror movies, and thank God they have it.
My God, lucky.
Like Gojin and telenovelas all in one place.
Everybody's happy. Right, let's get into the plot. So we're kind of given this cold open. It's these two guys who are exploring what we'll later find out to be Gonjam Psychiatric Hospital, and they're talking about the rumors of the place, and it's filmed like someone's filmed it on a phone. And they're talking about this room 402, which is like the big mystery room. It's locked, no one knows what's behind it. There's all these rumors. What do you think of this opening? Because it gives us a wee inkling as to what's about to happen.
I love it so much because found footage plus haunted asylums, abandoned hospital, that's my shit right there. And I see it, I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't try to open it, but also please open it because I want to know what's behind it. And I want to see you get hurt because you were a little shit that decided to mess with things that you shouldn't have.
Yeah, like I do think when these things sometimes, like if you played stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Like,
Yes.
what do you expect that's going to happen?
And I just imagine it would also be so funny if in the end of the movie they opened it and there's just absolutely nothing and it was just a normal ass room.
Yeah. Well, like I was thinking about this is like such a tangent. Well, you won't remember. Like, I don't think either of us would have been alive at the time. But there was this whole thing, like Geraldo was going to open Al Capone's vault, and they made it this live thing. Like Al Capone had like died, and there was this all these rumors about what was going on in his vault. And I'm sure it was Geraldo, who was this like big TV presenter in the US at the time. Was doing a live broadcast of opening the vault, and there was nothing in it. It was like such a damp squib. There was nothing in it at all, and it's quite infamous for being like a massive anticlimax TV moment. And it was like me. I don't know why I was like thinking about that while watching this. It's like they're so obsessed with this room, and it's like, well, if there's nothing in it, there was loads in it, but we'll get there.
It would just be so great if it's just, oh no, the locked room is just an excuse that the spirits perpetuate to get people inside the asylum. And then, it's open, there's nothing there, but too late. You're already gonna
Exactly.
die.
Exactly. So yeah, they try and open the door, they hear the ping pong ball, which will become important later as well, and their broadcast ends abruptly, not before catching a glimpse of some ghostly figure. So this YouTuber, Ha-Joon, who owns and runs this YouTube channel called Horror Times. Like, he sees this and he's kind of rubbing his hands together, like, oh, like this could be really good for me, and decides that he wants to go and explore the building. So, as you said earlier, it gets this ragtag group together. Ayeon, Charlotte, Jihyun,
Jin-hoon.
Jinhyun,
I love
yes.
her. I love her so much. She's my favorite.
Sung-hoon, Seung-wook, and Ji-yoon. And he gets these six people together, and he's decided that he wants to do a live broadcast from within Gonjam Asylum. And they meet at the start and are having like food together and kind of like making little jokes and stuff. And it felt very true to life of what a YouTube video is. Did you think the same?
Yeah, it was my favorite thing because it was just very chill. It reminded me of YouTube channels that I do watch that are kind of like this silly ghost hunting and then having fun on the way to the asylum and stopping to dive into the ocean, apparently in the middle of September. And you get to see so much of their personalities. And I think one of the things that I love most about this movie that it's a lot more character focused than it
Yeah.
is about the plot. And again, the love of my life, Jinhyun, she was, first of all, unfair. Okay, unfair. She was the only reasonable person among all of them. And we were talking about this a little before we started recording. Just as a lesbian, I have also deemed her a lesbian. And
Yeah.
so She's just my precious, and I must protect her at all costs. And I shipped her very hard with Charlotte. And those two, unfair, unfair. I would like to sue the person responsible for what happened to them.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's almost a lesbian. Like, there's always lesbians' deaths, though, aren't there? Like, oh, it's the worst. Why can't we just live? I'm saying we, I'm not lesbian,
Yes.
I'm bi, but. You know what I mean?
It's lesbophobic. It's lesbophobic.
Is, it is. So. It's kind of revealed on the drive that the asylum is like patrolled by police, which I was kind of surprised about. I mean, I guess kind of not. Like, this asylum has been defunct for decades now. Like, it's not in use. You can see when you walk in, it's like, and it's in disarray. Like, nobody's looking after it, but police patrol it every night for a certain period of time. There's heavy security at the gates, and they must trek through the woods to the back entrance to get into it. I just thought it was so funny here that Charlotte had her heeled boots on. Not just like a little heel either. Like, what are you doing? But I guess it was not communicated to her that they were going to be hiking.
She was so dressed up at the heels and the scarf. She wanted to be the star. And again, it gave me flashbacks to a lot of YouTube channels that I do watch. There's like, oh, exploration. There's always that one person who is super dressed up because they know they're gonna be on camera. And the police patrolling it, first of all, they did a terrible job because it's very obvious that everybody's getting into the building from the back. And there's just absolutely no barrier anywhere other than the woods. And also, as a Brazilian, the notion of police patrolling a defunct building is just, it does not compute in my head. Police here doesn't even patrol what they should be patrolling, let alone an abandoned building.
Like, yeah, it did make me think, like, what is so special about this place? Because there's so many abandoned buildings like all over the world, and it's like they don't have police patrol. It's so weird. I thought, like, it was a weird detail, but yeah.
It could also be like a lie, though. It only occurred to me now because the captain, as he likes to be called,
That
is
was so
one of
cringe.
the best horror movie villains of all time, in my opinion. And I think it could have just been a lie that he told to get them to go through the back and hike and put up the tent to give more atmosphere to the
This
video. You know, he might have
is true.
just lied to them for the aesthetic.
Very true, very true. Because, yeah, we find throughout this that he is doing a lot of dodgy shit to get views, basically. And I think it's interesting with this film. This film came out in 2018. And there's been a few, like, other films, like, kind of similar to this in terms of going to the haunted house, doing a live stream, and we've actually covered two on the podcast, Chad Gets the Axe and Dead Stream. And it's funny, this, like, a big part of the plot is needing to get the views. And it's interesting how younger people nowadays, like, they are really fueled by that, like, how many likes is this getting, how many views am I getting, and how it can be very attached to, like, your self-worth, and how it can get really competitive. I mean, it's not news that, like, social media isn't the greatest thing for your mental health, but yeah, it's interesting to me that there's all these films coming out and they do have that similar kind of message. Like, Spree does it as well. We've not covered that on the podcast, but Spree does it as well. This guy who's desperate to be an influencer, and goes to extreme lengths to do it.
What I liked about this one is that it has the added think that they're like, oh, but we can get money from the ads to the live stream. And I'm like, yeah, depending on the amount of money, I might go inside a haunted asylum. And so it was one of the very few films where I'm like, yeah, I get the appeal of finishing the live stream because Captain says, oh, we do not get paid for a live that got shut down earlier. So you have to keep going. You have to continue the live, or else we won't get any money. And like all of this trauma would have been for free. And
Yeah,
I'm
and
like,
that's
yeah,
how
the
he kind
money.
of persuades them to carry on. It's like it's the money, rather than like the notoriety, the internet fame as such. But you kind of see what happens at the like by the end of this, and it's like, was it actually worth it? Like 150K
No.
between seven people? Like, no, of course not. So we set up this tent in the middle of the woods, and this is like the captain sees decided to refer to himself as his kind of like production studio. It's all very well set up, and like everyone has their dinner and like and a laugh and stuff before they go into the asylum.
They have so many tech stuff. They have monitors and keyboards and cameras and GoPros and lights. And I'm like, how the fuck did all of you track up a forest carrying all that shit? I
I
would have not
know.
made it. I am a potato. I am not cut out for dragging equipment through the woods. Not for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, could you proper see them like struggling with it all? And there's
Yeah.
so much stuff. It's so expensive as well. Oh my God. So it's revealed to the audience at this point as well that the Ha-joon, Sung-hoon, and Seung-wook have scripted some scares for everybody as well. What do you think about this? Because it's revealed to like the audience, like the film audience, not like the YouTube audience. Because I was like thinking about it as well. Like, I believe in ghosts. Like, I know too many people who have had experiences, too many people who aren't like bullshitters, like who I'm just like, okay, they said that happened, I believe them. But some folks say that like a belief in ghosts and in stuff happening is like confirmation bias, basically. So yeah, I wasn't sure how I felt about this, because just being there was creepy enough. Like, I don't know if they needed to do all this stuff, but they've obviously did it, and they've upset somebody by the end of the film.
And like, I believe in ghosts. First of all, I'm Latina, so and like, I've had shit happen to me that I'm like, yeah, I believe it. No need to happen again. But I watch a lot of YouTube channels that are very much in the same vein as this fake one, and I won't name names on the podcast, but I'll tell you the name of the channel later. And it's so very obvious that there are scripted things that are so over the top that I'm like, there's no way I'm believing this. And they swear that it's all weird. I'm like, I'm watching this as a low budget horror movie. But a lot of the scares, I'm like, yeah, I know that didn't happen, bestie. I'm not that stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, as they're kind of traversing, they and do you know what, when I was watching this as well, it's like you can tell the captain Ha-joon is like a bit of a pro at this, because he has it very well set up. Like, the way they're producing this live stream is very well done. And I think when I compare it to Grave Encounters, where they've got the camera and they're like running about everywhere, and I was watching this like, how the fuck are you making a TV show out of this? Like, let's be serious. There was no television program coming out of that at all. Whereas this, it's like, it's so well done. It's very slick. You know, they've got the transitions and stuff coming up on like between floors, as Hyun tells them, like, I want you to look at this, 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 and this floor, X, Y, and Z on that floor, A, B, and C in the next one. And it's just, it's very well done and very slick. And I like that attention to detail.
That man is a producer, a shitty producer, but a producer. I hate him. I hate him
Yeah.
so much. And
He's
again,
like,
I
he's
know
an
it
evil
makes,
genius.
yes, it makes sense for him to be at the 10, you know, because he's coordinating and editing, but I'm like, you're gonna get the biggest share of the money and you're supposedly safe with your little ass in the 10. And so when shit starts happening in the 10, I'm like, yes, karma.
Exactly. So yeah, like various things like start to happen as we're walking through. So like Charlotte's pouring holy water into this dish and like is recording its reaction, and you know it starts doing some things. At one point we find all these photos and we're looking at those, and it's just a bit odd. Like the only person facing forward is the director, and all of the patients are looking here, there, and everywhere. But at that point in the film, I was just kind of thinking they did horrible things to these people in these places. You know, back in the day, I remember reading this at a museum in London like years ago. Like mentally ill people used to be looked after by the community, and I feel like at one point in time we were so much more community oriented, whereas you know you think about COVID and stuff that's just happened, people are just like, well, I don't want to. I'm just like, well, that's really nice, Brenda, but I'd like to be able to visit people again, you know. And then they put them in these places and they were just like neglected and abused. So I just kind of thought, bless them, like they were just absolutely away with it. But then
I would
it's
haunt people
definitely,
too. I would
yeah.
haunt people too. Like,
It
fair. They get a pass.
definitely turns out, I think something else was going on. And then one of the patients is carrying this doll. It's like a cute wee thing that starts showing up in various places throughout the asylum. You're shuddering there. What did you
Yeah,
think of that?
I hate that doll so much. And again, I wonder how many times before they filmed it, the main three went on the building, because there's two main questions that I have regarding this. One is, what exactly, how big is the haunting radius? Because technically, the captain doesn't even enter the building and he's getting haunted in the tent in the woods. And so, especially in the doll that they find inside the asylum, looks new, looks, a lot
Yeah.
newer than the rest of the stuff. So I wonder, oh, did the three of them go into the asylum perhaps during the day and planted the doll, including the captain, and that's why the entities latched onto him and haunted him even when he was in the tent? But it's just a question that I had the whole movie, like, why is he getting haunted even though he's in the woods? Are the woods haunted as well? Like, were they doomed the second they entered the woods, or was it something specific inside the asylum? Maybe when Charlotte broke a glass that apparently had a embalmed chicken inside,
Oh, yeah.
was it then? Was it, what moment doomed then to die? Because it wasn't opening the room. Because there's my favorite two characters. They dipped. When stuff got way too hard, they left. And they still got haunted and murdered. And the door had nothing to do with it. And so I was just obsessed with, but at what point did the ghosts decide, yeah, you're a goner?
Yeah, that is an interesting question. Because I wonder, like, are the woods part of the asylum grounds, maybe? Or, like, you know, these places are so fucked up, like, were some of them buried in the woods? And that's how they end up haunting the woods as well. You honestly don't know.
So many questions.
So many questions. And yeah, like you say, Hajin, he is in the campsite and his propane burners are turning on and off, and his whole computer setup glitches as well. Which means he can't communicate with anybody.
And he's so isolated. I would be more terrified to be in his position, I think, because he's alone.
I was surprised that like there wasn't just like one other person. Like for an emergency, whether it's like with him or with them, just having someone as a go-between, someone who like if they needed to phone the police, phone an ambulance, could get out to the road to like flag them down and be like, hey, over here, or like something like that. Like it felt a bit risky sending them all
Yes.
in, you know? But I mean, before it started, I don't think he would have cared about that kind of thing because he was just
He
obsessed with
absolutely.
getting his milli views.
And his hubris was huge because he didn't think there was anything there. He's like, oh, everything that's gonna happen is because I planned it, I scripted it, and they're gonna execute it. So it's chill. I know everything that will happen. And if one of them had even like fallen and sprained their ankle, he does not give a shit about any of them. He's like, yes, more views and injury.
Exactly. Yeah. So Ji Yoon and Ah Yeon are trying to open the door to 402. And everyone else is in the group treatment room. And like there's like a scary moment that happens here because I think like one of them gets their hand stuck somewhere and there's all these
Yes.
coffins. It's just like, what the fuck is going on here? And Jin Hyun puts her hand in and gets it wounded.
Yes.
The noise of all of this and like everybody screaming, I just about shut my pants. Like, what is going on? And at this point, our lesbian lovers decide that
You're gonna leave
they're done. They are done.
as they should.
So
And
how you
again, another part of how evil that man is Charlotte says that the words on the wall changed. It said, she graffitis on the wall her name to mark that she's been there, and under it's written, will survive. But after Jin-hen arm gets scratched and they go outside, it says will die. And the guys are asking the captain, like, oh, did the word really change? And he goes back on the footage, sees that it did change, and he lies. He knows that his supposed friends are in danger and that it truly is haunted, but he does not give a single flying shit because he wants the views, he wants the money.
it exactly. And I don't know if they're friends before this. I think some of them come on board as like people, like
Yeah.
as a bit of an ad that comes in, but I don't know. It's still, I don't know,
It's
do you have a
Shay. I
duty?
hate him.
There was a bit before this that I missed as well. The kind of seance that they do that's like scripted. As soon as they were like, oh, we're gonna do this like medium like style activity to see if we can speak to people, I would have been like, no, I'm gone. No.
Goodbye.
Drop me out. Like, where's the nearest fire exit? I'm off. Like
Goodbye. We didn't. No. No. Adios.
Adios, indeed.
What I love about the scare scenes is they have a GoPro facing them, so you get to see their faces. And one thing that a lot of horror movies don't bother doing is you can see the snot on their nose and the tears and the sweat and like the spit bubble on their lips. So it's very visceral. You can see on their appearance that they're scared. And I'm like, yes, Yes, bestie, give me more mucus.
Yeah, you get like proper like nostril shots in this film. Like very like good looking people looking quite ugly from the shots because they really go all in on like, you know, being terrified, and you're not beautiful when you're terrified. You are snotty and crying and sweating and all of this, and they really go for it.
It's oh, and we have for me the scariest fucking scene. I've watched this movie, I think this was the fifth time, and every single time I get very uncomfortable is when Jinhyun and Charlotte are walking back in the woods and they stop by the tree with the white panties and she gets possessed. And her eyes go all black. And what annoys me the most is the gibberish that continues even when she's no longer on screen. And Charlotte is running, and you still hear. And I'm, no, no, I don't like it. Absolutely not.
Yeah, that got me as well. But just before that scene, so the captain says to like his two lackeys that know about all the scripted pranks. He's like, they're like, you know, drop me out, I'm done. Because like they can see people are getting really frightened, and he's like, I'll give you more money if you do what I say. So they're like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do it. And they like continue on with their plan, and then they go into this room like in the basement, and they see the wheelchair moving. What's the word there? The wheelchair moving, which is like so creepy. And then everything in the room starts to float,
Yes.
which again. And they get stuff like dropped on their heads, and they're like completely knocked out. And then Seung-wook wakes up, but is dragged away by an invisible force. And again, this happened in Paranormal Activity, and I said last week, and like that is one thing that like really scares me, because you can't do anything. Like if someone's grabbing your ankles and pulling you away, like you can't kick them because they've got your ankles. Like you can't like sit up and hit them because they're dragging you, and you might not have that ability. You're
Leverage.
fucked. Like you are their victim, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it actually really scares me.
It's awful. And again, I love that the asylum is sort of also another dimension almost. And again, just talking to you now that these things are occurring to me, that Jinhyun gets possessed supposedly in the woods. But we also see Charlotte technically breach the tent, and when she steps into the tent, she's back inside the asylum. And I wonder, did they ever leave the asylum at all, or did the asylum just let them have the illusion that they were outside even though they were still in there? I have just so many questions. I could have a whole series of movies set in this asylum so we could find more about the dynamics and how it works. Because then again, at the end, when the little shit, the captain decides, oh, if you're not gonna do it, I'm gonna film it myself, and he finally gets his ass inside the building. When he's on his way, he sees a figure up in one of the windows, and he goes like, what the fuck is happening? What is that? And a little bit further, when he's investigating the building, he goes to a broken window, and when he looks down, he sees himself making his way inside the asylum. And I'm like, what is happening? Is this a time rift? Is this a parallel dimension that exists in its own time? What is happening?
Yeah, exactly. And it makes it like really interesting and like gets you thinking. Also, very Grave Encounters as well.
At least there wasn't any rats. They didn't have to eat rats in this one, so
Oh my
that's a
God.
plus.
Thank God. So yeah, like you said, Charlotte and Jinhyun decide to leave. They're walking through the forest. They think they've found their underwear marker, but they're walking past more and more and more of them, and they're just like, oh my God, we're lost. And then Jinhyun goes into this trance. Her eyes go huge and black, and she starts talking in this like incantation that's like indecipherable. Charlotte takes off as expected,
As she
but
should.
she seems to find the tent, but then she goes into the tent and she's actually in room 402. And Jinhyun is there with the bloody doll, the creepy
I
doll.
hate
And
that
then
doll.
there's also a naked man who's like so creepy as well, because he's like so far away, and it's that kind of thing. You're just like, what is that? For a while, like it took me a minute to figure out like it was a man, because it's like he's like all red down his front, and you're like, have you been like sliced open? Like, what's
Yes,
wrong?
and his head is turning weird, and it's not a
Yeah.
glimpse because usually in this type of horror movies, you only get a glimpse, but he stays there full front. And oh, another detail that creeps me. Oh, I got goosebumps. That creeps me out the most is that when Charlotte takes some steps to the side, he takes steps to the side, so he's always sort of facing her, and just a little shot of him walking and shuffling, like, absolutely not. No, stay in your
Yeah.
corner.
Stay in your lane, sir. So there's three of them that find themselves in a dark room. No.
Yeah,
Sorry.
they open the room. The
Yeah.
room opens itself and they run inside because shit is scarier outside somehow.
So yeah, they're talking, and one of them reveals that there's been a whole load of scripty shit happening, and that understandably turns off a lot of viewers. They're just like, oh, it's scripted, like I don't want to watch this. And like Yeon Hyun is
Paste.
rageo. He's like, you said what? So he's like determined to like get himself down there now. But after like this has been revealed, and you know, they're, you know, the guys are like, you know, this is all scripted, someone's passed out and like injured, like we all need to get the fuck out of here. You can hear this ping pong ball. And I was like, oh, all right. And then it's like flung out of nowhere. It's just like,
Which was just
no.
so unnecessarily rude and petty, considering the other shit the ghost has done. The ping pong ball was purely petty. They were just like, you came
Yeah.
here to annoy me, here's your fucking ping pong ball.
Exactly.
Rude.
And then they can hear Charlotte screaming as well,
Yeah,
which
from
must be
inside the room,
which
and
is
that's when
so
it's
confusing.
revealed to us as the viewers, because until then, like, we had no idea she was inside room 402. We just knew that she was like back inside the asylum, but when you hear her banging, you're like, shit, she's inside the room, but they haven't opened it. How the fuck did she get there? And again comes my question, did they not leave the asylum at all? And while they were making their way like through the woods, they were actually going to room 402 inside the asylum, and then they opened the door before the others could get there. I have so
Yeah,
many questions. So
I
many
think you're
questions.
right, honestly. I think you're, yeah, I think you're onto something there.
Is just in oh, when they're in the room and they are stepping on water and everything is dark. And when he keeps flashing the camera between their faces, you can see hands almost covering their eyes. And when the camera focuses on them, hands recede. And oh, I hate those hands. I hate them.
So yeah, at this point, the captain, like he's seeing that they're almost at 1 million views, but he's heard them say that it's scripted, but then also that there's a guy that's injured who really needs to be taken out of there. And he decides to go in, he gets all strapped up in the gear and stuff, and abandons the tent. But like en route, like you say, he comes in, he sees someone's getting like at the window, he goes inside and then sees himself outside, which is like weird as fuck.
What is happening?
But then he is killed, like he is strangled. And you just kind of see the dangly feet, which I do quite like.
He got off too easy. He
Yeah.
walks in and is immediately killed. I'm like, no, sir, you need to shit your pants. You need to piss yourself. You need to fall and like split your head open. I need worse things to happen to you. But also he
Exactly. He
abandons.
needed to suffer like the rest of them had for
Yes.
however long they were in there.
Can you imagine? Because the movie makes it very clear that they're all goners by the end. And so, can you imagine the next day or maybe the next night, the police is patrolling, or someone comes across a tent with a shit ton of electronic equipment and a lot of monitors and a little stove and
Yeah.
instant ramen. And they're like,
Yeah.
what is happening? What is this? What were you doing? And it's so frustrating because even after the dude says, oh, it's all scripted, but this is real, like we need to get out, they keep on filming. And there's a lot of terrifying shit that happens with the hands and the water and Charlotte screaming. And when the movie ends, it cuts to the screen of their life. And somebody says, oh, what happened? Did the life end? And they say, oh, it got cut off after the guy said it was fake. So they didn't even get notoriety. Like they weren't even registered in the history of the
Yeah.
asylum. Nobody saw all of those shit that was real. And again, I wonder, was it purposefully the asylum giving people just enough to get them curious to come and see for themselves, but not enough to scare them that it is real and you will 100% get murdered? And if so, is the asylum a fucking conscious being?
Oh, these were all very good points. I read, because I initially just thought that at the end, when we see that it's like 500 people in the live stream, I just thought like everyone had dropped off when it got cut off. But no, like it never, like that was its peak. It peaked at 500, and the captain, like the haunting force, made the captain think it was pushing 1 million, and it actually wasn't. It was never above 500, and it's just like, wow, like it wanted to get these people bad.
Yes. And again, I'm like, was it really the patients, or were they still being like manipulated by the woman even after they died? Because it's a very coordinated attack that needed a lot of strategy. And considering the types of treatment, quote unquote, that they were receiving in that asylum, you know that probably no one else apart from the director, the woman that directed, had the mental fortitude to plan something like that, because they're getting shock treatment. They're getting, it's not colonoscopy, Jesus Christ, the thing where they lobotomized. They're getting lobotomized left and right. None of those patients would be in a mental state where they could orchestrate all that. So I'm like, is it the woman? Is she the one behind all of it? As you can see, I'm quite obsessed with this movie.
Yeah. But it's a good question to ask, like, is it these tormented souls who were tormented in life as well, or is the director, as they refer to her, still pulling like the puppet strings? And is she the one that's controlling them all from the afterlife? Like, it is a really interesting question to ask at the end of this film. You touched on there the scene with the hands in 402. That creeped me out as well, with these hands just coming over the eyes, and all of a sudden our like group of
Possessed.
streamers becoming obsessed. Also with the cameras, like seeing various ghost forms of the patients, and just like never knowing every time that camera came up, like what you were gonna get either. With the night vision camera, rather, like,
Oh, that's a trope that terrifies me when they're at a place that's so absolutely dark that the only way they can see is to turn the night vision on in the camera and look at the visor, because your field of vision is so limited and you're dependent on the tiny little screen to tell you what's happening, and what's happening is
yeah.
not good.
No, it's not. So the very last shot of the film is this dish of holy water that starts to boil, which is definitely like paranormal activity.
And the showers turning on all at the same time, which
Yeah.
again, where is the water coming from? Is someone still paying the water bill? Why did the water not get cut off? What is happening?
Yeah, you would think the water would have been cut off. I don't know if they pay for water bills in South Korea. I don't In Scotland you don't, because we have a very good water supply anyway, so it's just free for everyone. But
We don't.
they
Cries in
have to pay for
Brazilian.
it. Can we say Brazilian? They have to pay for it in England, but you don't in Scotland.
Yes. I'm sad.
Yeah, so that's the end of the film. I've read that the owner of the asylum actually tried to file a lawsuit against the people behind the film, because they thought it would have like a negative effect on the sale of the building. And a court in Seoul ruled in favor of the film. And
Jeez.
the asylum was actually demolished also in 2018 as well. So if anybody was like, oh, I'm gonna take a wee holiday to South Korea and go and see this, I'm sorry, you cannot. It is
You
not there
can't.
anymore.
And again, the owner could have made so much money if he just started having paranormal tours inside
Right?
the asylum. He would have been a
People love that
rich
shit.
man. Like, well, it's, I there would be so many people from the US flying to Korea because white people.
Yeah.
I just, again, I'm Latina. I am not getting involved with any of that shit, because if I didn't die by the hands of the ghost, my mom would kill me.
You doing, Nina? I could see it. Just slap upside the head. What are you doing?
She would get her Havaiana, which is kind of like the Brazilian version of a chancla, or like her little Havaiana. Like, what do you think you're doing? Oh, Jesus, but I love this movie. I am obsessed with this movie.
Have you got anything else you want to say about the film before we move on to box office and ratings?
Oh, I love them all. Just not the captain. Him I hate, but all of the others, they are my children.
It was bugging me while I was watching this, like who he was, and he's in Squid Game.
He is. Oh.
And he plays a bad guy in that as well. And it's like, you just can't help yourself, can you?
Just he's too handsome to play a good guy. I think he's level of hotness to be a villain.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that. See, as Yeah, it's a good looking boy. I say that we're the exact same age.
Boy, child. And me saying, no, my children, and I'm 26 and they're all older than me. I'm like, no, all of my children.
Oh. So in terms of box office. This actually did really well in South Korea. It's like what it was like one of it's one of the top grossing horrors over there. It was made on a $2.2 million budget and grossed 21 million, so it made lots of money back on how much it was made for. I know, like, found footage, you can do it on a shoestring, but like I think they used the money really well here. Like it's very
Yes.
well done, which I appreciate. In terms of ratings on IMDb, it has got a 6.4 out of 10.
Unfair.
Ugh,
Unfair.
rubbish. It does a bit better everywhere else, though. So on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got a 91% rating
Yeah,
with the
as it should.
critics and
As it
75
should.
and 75 with the audience, and it's got a 3.3 on Letterboxd. But don't care about what they think. Care about what you think, Nina. So, what would you rate Gongiam Haunted Asylum out of 10?
I am very much an apologist. I am a 10 out of 10 all the way because I love that movie so much and it stands to rewatch. I've rewatched like 5 times, and every time I see it again, I come up with more questions about how this place works. I'm
Yeah.
obsessed. I need the person who wrote the script to sit me down and tell me everything about this asylum. I'm like, sir, I will pay you to tell me how this works.
It's the kind of film where it's like I can imagine you like every time you watch it, you notice something else about it as well, which I think is really fun for fans too. Because I know the last time we looked at found footage, I loved Creep the first time I watched it, but then the whole shtick of it, I was kind of like, oh well, I know what happens now, and I didn't really like it on a second watch. Whereas I feel like with this, there's going to be so many things that I've not picked up on yet. So I'll need to revisit it at some point.
I love it so much. And I love rewatching stuff in general. Usually, movies that I like, I'd see 10 times usually. Knowing
Yeah.
what happens makes me like the movie more because I don't have the anxiety of what's gonna
Yeah.
go down. So I get to pay attention. And again, upon the rewatch, you can see how shady the captain is from the get-go and how manipulative he is and how he purposefully chose those people with those personality profiles. Like he chose Charlotte because she's very dramatic, she's very responsive. And we have Jin-Hyun because she's good with the equipment, she's quick on her feet. We got the two scaredy cats who are very passive, and the guy, if you threaten his manhood or say, oh, you're scared, he knows that he's gonna keep going because he doesn't want to be associated with someone that's a coward. And the girl, the nursing student, she's also very passive, so she's gonna do whatever he tells her to do.
Yeah.
Everyone was like picked because they were serve his purpose, and I'm like, dude is an evil mastermind, but a mastermind.
Yeah, he's an evil genius for sure. But yeah, I think you're right. Like when you said like he is like one of the worst villains, I was like, is she being a bit dramatic? And it's like the more and more I think about it, I'm like, no, she's not. He is. He is.
He's awful. Because he's a villain with brain cells.
Yeah, I think there is something in that with like people who are like content creators. They tend to be quite charismatic, so he is going to be able, they get called influencers for a reason. He is going to be able to like persuade people in his way of thinking, and that's not even necessarily like in a sinister kind of way. Like he uses it sinisterly, but that's probably not a word, but we're using it anyway. Like some people do it for good, and but he's just done it for evil.
He's genius because he even makes them bond with each other so they have like a sense of duty and obligation to each other. He makes them feel like a team. Like you see
Yeah.
that everything was thought out before the dinner and on the drive, he says, oh no, we can't get there too early. So he Everybody goes to a dip in the ocean, and you see, oh, he's forcing them to bond. He's forcing them to care about each other, to see each other as friends, as a team. So that will translate better on camera. Ah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's layers to this shit, man. Oh my God.
I'm glad this isn't on YouTube because people would see how absolutely insane I look right now. With my conspiracy theories about the movie.
You're like Charlie Kelly in that scene from It's Always Sunny. Like
Yes.
oh, thank you
I'm
so much,
normal, I
Nina,
promise.
for thank you so much for coming on and introducing this film to me.
Thank you for having me again. I always have such a good time, and I get maybe a little too hyper, as probably the listeners can tell, and they can even see that I'm usually like kind of jumping in place.
Honestly, I've appreciated it so much. I said like off air, but I was like, oh, I've had such a week at work, and honestly, I could have actually had a nap. And it's like your energy has just like brought me back up, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna walk the dog, and I'm gonna do all these other things I need to do this evening. So thank you for
So
bringing the energy. I needed
happy.
it. Where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter, which I refuse to call X. It just no.
Yes.
At Dawn of Flowers. They can technically find me at the new Darklit imprint Hedene. I'm one of the editors over there. I'm also on Threads as M Garrido Moisés, which is Brazilian, so I will send you the written down thingy so you can put on the show notes. And I have also created a review blog recently. It's called Screams and Ink. So a little book reviews, horror reviews over there.
Amazing. It's so good once you get started. You'll love it. But you're like, you write and stuff anyway,
It's so
so it's nice to have a
fun.
place for it all.
Yes.
I'll be back in a fortnight. I've got reviews lined up to do Hell House LLC. Apparently Girlfriends is now a found footage podcast, because that'll be kind of one in a row. And also to do the Silence of the Lambs as well. So I'm not sure which one's coming out first, but those are my next two that are coming out. So be on the lookout for those. But until then, stay spooky.